This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, hello. Good to be with you.
And Bridget, we're getting near time for another Share-a-thon here at Catholic Radio. It's been, boy, a long time. I think the last one might have been March or something like that. And as much as we hate to take our regular programming off the air, sometimes we just need to take our regular programming off the air so that we can raise the funds that we need to keep our regular programming on the air. And that sounds kind of paradoxical, but that's how it works. This is a listener-supported station, so we do need donations from listeners just like you, and we have a lot of regular listeners who are regular donors, and we certainly appreciate all of those. But from time to time, we take a couple of hours a day, a couple of days in a row, to take our regular programming off the air to kind of give people a chance to join our family of donors and jump on the bandwagon and help us raise the funds that we need to keep Catholic Radio on the air. So that's coming up in early November. We will need a few volunteers to help us answer the phone. So if you've got some hours, we'll be doing it from 6:30 in the morning till 9, and probably from 3 to 6 in the afternoon for a couple of days in a row. I think it's the 8th and 9th, 7th and 8th.
Yes.
It's a Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, I think it's the 8th and 9th of November, yeah.
And so if you can spare, you don't have to do all the sessions or anything like that. If you can volunteer for just one session even, it'll help us out a whole bunch. So look at your calendar. If that works for you and you can spare a couple of hours, it's not hard work. We just need people to answer the phone and to, jot down people's name, address, and their amount of their donation, that sort of thing. 9th and 10th, November 9th.
9th and 10th.
We were close.
Our producer in here just helped us out.
we were close. November 9th and 10th. So those are the dates. If you can help us out, just give us a call. 317-870-8400. Again, 317-870-8400.
Yeah, and I'll also let you know that if you do volunteer, the food here is really good. The food for the volunteers is awesome. So you won't go hungry. You won't go away hungry or sad, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, today we're going to be talking about catechist formation, and wow, that is a super important job. And how they address topics like in our modern culture of wokeism and cancel culture, among other topics. Joining us today in studio,
That's a broad topic. We're going to cover all that in one show, right?
We are.
All right.
In studio today is Ken O'Gorick. He's the Director of Catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and he is up to the task. Welcome to Faith in Action, Ken.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to spend time with you and all of the awesome Catholic Radio Indy listeners.
Well, we joked before we got started here that Ken is such a strong guest that sometimes if we are really needing a guest, Jim and I are like, oh, let's call Ken.
I suffer from high self-esteem, so I'm always willing to come on and chat.
So do we.
Well, there truly is so much going on in the department where Ken works at the Archdiocese that we could have him on every week or once a month or once a week and still not cover it all. So we're always glad whenever he can come in and share some of the things that are going on there.
Well, Ken, tell us a little bit about what you do as the Director of Catechesis.
Bridget, the main thing I do is I try to work very closely with the people who run our parish catechetical programs. We have 126 parishes in the Archdiocese, and I don't know exactly how many are in the Diocese of Lafayette or elsewhere, but a lot. And hopefully every parish has an awesome, womb-to-tomb evangelization and catechesis effort of some sort in place. So the folks who pastors ask to run those programs, those are my people. I want to make sure they have the support and the formation and the resources they need. There are a lot of other related things that I'm involved with, mm-hmm. if you think about evangelization and catechesis from womb to tomb mm-hmm. in a variety of settings. But really, that's the best way I would summarize it. The reason people like me have jobs is to help ministry and parishes unfold more effectively by God's grace.
And catechesis is taking on a bigger role in parishes. I think in the last, 10, 15 years, it seemed like for a long time, 60s and 70s, it kind of fell by the wayside. There just wasn't a lot, didn't seem to be a lot of that going on. Is that increasing or decreasing?
Well, it's interesting. You know, catechesis has always been a very present ministry in our church, but I guess you could argue there are times when people tend to pick things up more by or a lot by osmosis, you know, and they just kind of breathe it in with what's going on at home in the neighborhood and the culture and the community. But that's probably what's changed, I think, over the past couple or three decades. So the need to provide good, solid, authentically Catholic formation for folks in the midst of everything else going on has probably become enhanced.
So when I hear the word catechesis, I think about, you know, that parents are really catechists in a sense. I mean, maybe not in the formal sense, but maybe in the formal sense. You know what I mean?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, parents. You know, the church says in various documents that parents are the primary educators of their children. I like to specify that sometimes and say they're certainly the primary catechists of their children. So yeah, so catechists really play a complementary role, hopefully, to what's happening at home. It's a team effort. But that public ministry of catechists, which, by the way, Pope Francis recently announced that he's sort of elevating the ministry of catechists to a formal public ministry in the church. So as you said earlier, Jim, catechesis has been getting a lot of attention lately.
Well, now you have been taking your show on the road, so to speak. talk about that. What you mean by show on the road?
Yeah. Well, when you're a catechist, you certainly need ongoing formation and training and education and so forth to help you with that ministry. And you know, sometimes we gather catechists from a broad area together in one place to do some formation.
Like a catechist conference, or retreat, or professional development and kind of spiritual enrichment and that.
Exactly. We thought we would kind of flip the script a little bit this fall and really encourage parish catechetical leaders to invite us out to their parish, maybe to do a little local formation or to help them with some local formation. And in many cases, I've asked them if they'd be open to inviting catechists from nearby parishes or the entire deanery or what have you. So we've had a very good response to that. I know I've been all over the Archdiocese. I'm out and about a lot anyway, but I've been all over the Archdiocese over the past couple months or so and really just enjoying doing that local formation.
Before the program, we were talking about how many times Ken has been on Faith in Action, and Ken came to the Archdiocese very shortly after Catholic Radio did, so he was one of our first guests, and he's been on a number of times since then, and so we greatly appreciate that. I'm wondering, almost all parishes have a catechesis program of one sort or another. Do most of them use the same materials for teaching, or is there recommended ones that they could or should use?
Yeah. The simple answer is no. They don't all use the exact same resources. I mean, hopefully they're using the Bible and a good catechism of some sort. But the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has a process for evaluating the doctrinal content of catechetical materials and resources. And I often say I like to give people choices when I can. Because that sort of lessens the sting of those situations where people don't really have a choice. So yeah, people can choose. Thankfully, nowadays there are quite a few wonderful catechetical resources out there. So as long as the resource is meeting certain parameters, if you will, standards, people use a variety of things.
Now, are most of those published books and publications, or are there resources available internet-wise and electronically that weren't available a few years ago?
Oh yeah. There's been just a real growth of digital, non-print materials available. And you guys know me. I'm such a huge fan of Catholic Radio. Generally speaking, I mean, I consider Catholic Radio to be a great evangelization and catechetical resource. So as you know, people can access the content at their convenience, you know, if they can't listen live. So thankfully it's not a question of not having good tools. It's really just a question of helping folks use those tools well, to teach and to witness to the beauty of our faith.
We're talking with Ken O'Gork. He's the director of catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And when we chatted on the phone before we got this interview lined up, you had talked about some questions that you get when you go out on the road to talk to catechists. And one was wokeism. How do you address that? First, before you go any further, first you have to define what that is, and then explain what you said or how you help people address that.
Sure. So quite a few of our listeners will have heard the term woke, mm-hmm. or wokeism, and also oftentimes cancel culture. Mm-hmm. The idea of canceling goes with that. So super quick. A woke person, first of all, probably won't identify herself or himself as woke. That's usually kind of a label that is assigned to them. But I would say a woke person tends to have three key traits. Number one, a woke person claims to have moral authority. Okay, he or she can make a bold pronouncement about what ought to be happening and what ought not to be happening. Okay, and this is a quick and sort of
no, that's fine.
Secondly, oftentimes the moral pronouncements they make are very oversimplified. You know, just very one dimensional.
But they're always correct.
Well, yeah, and
in quotes,
which leads to the third trait, and this is where cancel culture comes in. If you disagree with a woke person, oftentimes their reaction is not so much to try to do you physical harm, although I could give you some pretty scary examples of that sort of thing, but they want to do you harm. You know, in the church, we often, I mean, one of the spiritual works of mercy or two, you know, instruct the ignorant, admonish the sinner. It's always with an eye toward helping that person, maybe helping them kind of turn it around a little bit. But to cancel someone is literally just to mess their life up, make it impossible mm-hmm. for them to do their job. Mm-hmm. You know, never mind if they're supporting a family or you know, never mind who they are or what the rest of their life looks like. I have moral authority. I'm going to make a statement, a very simplified, one-dimensional statement about what you ought to believe. If you don't believe it, I will employ social media especially to do you harm. That's mm-hmm. that's the beautiful, lovely, mm-hmm. Open-minded, tolerant world of wokeism and cancel culture.
Well, social media is a real key there, because it used to be if I didn't like you or you didn't like me, that's about as far as it went. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Now I can put something on the internet terrible about somebody, and somebody else will see it and believe it and pass it on. And whether it's true or not doesn't matter. Eventually it has a life of its own, and there's lots of beliefs that are spewed that way or spread that way.
And there seems to be an absence of fact checkers too. So, but I want to ask you, Ken, so how is that manifesting in the parish for the catechist, and how are they to address that concern when these ideologies or issues come up in the parish, maybe in an RCIA class, you know?
Yeah. So the manifestation, first of all, again, super quick and simple. There's a fair amount of what you might call moral confusion among folks, mm-hmm. you know, and we all know how important it is to form our conscience throughout our life. And it's difficult to have a well-formed conscience when there are so many voices out there claiming moral authority and who do I listen to? And there's also a concern. We don't want Catholics to be perpetrators of cancel culture. So we don't want Catholics to get sucked into these poor behaviors. Mm-hmm. And if at all possible, we would also like to see them not become victims of it or to be harmed by it. Mm-hmm. Although, as disciples of Jesus, we know that sometimes the easy thing isn't the right thing isn't the easy thing to do, and mm-hmm. sometimes we are persecuted and reviled. So be. Being canceled, you know, maybe that's like the 10th beatitude. You know, blessed are they when they cancel you.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm pointing to the crucifix in our studio. You get canceled so much, they crucify you. You know, so
yeah.
On that note, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about formation of catechists with Ken O'Gork. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor, tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
We are at a crossroads in our efforts to protect life here in Indiana. Recent court cases in Texas, recent laws being proposed in Washington, D.C., have made this a crisis point for the pro-life movement. This is Mark Tuttle from Right to Life of Indianapolis. I'd like to personally invite you to participate in this year's 40 Days for Life campaign. Through prayer, through fasting, and through community outreach, we can turn our city into a city of life. To sign up, visit 40daysforlife.com.
Across America, there are quiet heroes changing lives every day. When disaster strikes, they lend support. They give hope to those in need, warmth to the cold, and help to those society ignores. Over the past decade, they have given more than $1.5 billion and 700 million hours to charity. When it comes to making a difference, the Knights of Columbus are on the front lines. Become a knight and be the difference. Learn more at KOFC.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio with our guest who's sitting right next to us, Ken Agoric. He is the Director of Catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And we were talking a little bit about catechist formation, in particular some of the topics, the interesting topics that Kent's had to deal with as those in the pew are dealing, or those in the parish are dealing with the topics of wokeism and cancel culture. How do people address that, or how do catechists address that, or maybe even people in our audience, you know, when they encounter this, maybe they can take some tips away from this too.
So my advice to catechists in a workshop, I literally did just this past Saturday. So what I did was, before we even got into wokeism and cancel culture, I laid some groundwork. So again, super quickly, one thing I pointed out, that Jesus is the ultimate moral authority. Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, kind of based on what I said earlier, you can kind of see why I'm laying this foundation. So Jesus is the ultimate moral authority. Secondly, even though there are a few moral absolutes like murder and adultery and so forth, most situations are just a little more complicated than that.
Yeah.
You know, they're just a little more complicated than that. And finally, again, as I said earlier, when a Christian engages in what you might call fraternal correction, maybe challenging another person's behavior or decisions, it's always with an eye toward helping that person, mm-hmm. right? So if a catechist kind of lays that groundwork early and often, Jesus as the moral authority, the complexity of most issues, you know, most issues are matters of preference and not principle, and the value of challenging folks and holding them accountable, all the while being mindful of the plank that could be in your own eye, so doing it in humility, then I encourage them to don't necessarily wait for someone to drop a woke bomb in your catechetical session. You know, confront these things head on. Use examples, and we've all seen those yard signs. You know, we believe, you know, love is love, and so forth. Yeah, you know, again, true statements in a sense, but super oversimplified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use those examples. Sort of be a little bit proactive. You know, and again. Always help people understand that true sense of fraternal correction, you know, holding each other accountable and supporting each other. We are kind of our brother's keeper, right? But there's a way to do it that seeks not to so much to do harm, but so as to, you know, has to help and support.
Well, something you touched on, Ken, and I can't help but think about this as we're talking, that the moral confusion that just abounds in our culture today. I cannot imagine what catechists on the front line are dealing with, in addition to the two topics that you just mentioned. How bad is it, I guess, for catechists? What's the state of people coming in? You know, some might be married, some maybe have some church background, maybe some people maybe don't know the Bible at all. Maybe they married a Catholic, or, you know, do you have a sense of the formation level of the average or typical person coming into the Archdiocese? Do you have any sense of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit across the board, but you know, the culture really forms people.
Mm-hmm.
And so in most catechetical sessions, people are coming in already influenced by some of these negative moral voices out there. But more and more, you know, one thing I often say to catechists is nobody can argue with your witness. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, we have to share the doctrinal and moral teaching of the church, but it's important for a catechist to sort of share, you know, the difference that this makes in my life. You know, I do my best to follow this moral teaching, and let me tell you how it makes my family life better, how it makes my marriage better, how it makes my neighborhood better. So people can argue with a teaching, but nobody can argue with your witness. And when a catechist sort of makes it clear that their well-formed conscience, again in humility, but the fact that they do strive to follow the teaching of Christ in the area of how we treat each other, and how it just makes their life better, you know, more peaceful, more joyful. I think that's the best chance we have, I think, of moving people's hearts and minds a little bit closer to our Lord.
We, Jim and I did an interview with Dr. Ray Guarendi, the Doctor Is In host here on this channel, and he has a new book out, and we were talking about, he talked to a priest, and the priest said, what's the best argument for Catholicism? What's the best argument? And the priest said to him, you know, Dr. Ray was like, oh, I'm going to get some big theological thing, you know? And the priest said, because the moral code works.
Yeah.
And you just alluded to that in, you know, how you live your life and how you're, mm-hmm. you have joy and peace and all that in your family. So I think that's a great witness that you're witnessing of other people living that out. I want to ask you about other topics that you've been asked to cover.
So it's funny, super quick. Way down in southern Indiana, the folks they wanted some morality basics. You know, when we're teaching morality, mm-hmm. what are some basic mm-hmm. basic things that?
What are the rules now?
Well, and it's funny though, because one of the three things I encouraged them. We talked about the role of conscience and the existence of moral absolutes and things like that. So one parish down in the Tell City Deanery, they wanted to hear about our Blessed Mother and the Luminous Mysteries and what Mary and the Rosary and particularly the Luminous Mysteries have to say to catechists, you know about how we live, but also how we teach the faith. And finally, I will say one of our parishes, it was actually a cluster of parishes working together. They wanted to, you know, coming out of some of the COVID-related shutdowns, they wanted to hear about the irreplaceable role of sacraments in the life of a Catholic, you know. And again, I'm preaching to the choir mm-hmm. here, but yeah, the fact that live streaming is fine in certain emergency situations, but nothing replaces obviously being there, right?
I think being Catholic, I think one of the things that really, and we all talked about here on staff at Catholic Radio Indy and others, as you're alluding to, that it's not the same. You know,
right.
for non-Catholics, okay, streaming, okay, yeah, rah, yay, rah, whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we receive Jesus.
Yes, yes.
You
yes.
can't replace that.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we go to Mass. It's not for the mm-hmm. music. It's not for the preaching, although those things might be good. Not for the donuts. Those might be good as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's really, we're there for Jesus. And you cannot replace that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When Jesus said, do this in memory of me, like, he had a very specific this in mind. That's what I often say to folks, is that all those things are good. But yeah, celebrating the sacraments is how we comply with Jesus's command to do this in memory of me. So yeah, those are just a few topics that folks were interested in.
So now talk a little bit, we got about four minutes left or so. Talk a bit about going places. Like, can people just call up and say, hey, Ken, can you come to, and you only serve the Archdiocese, or do you do other speaking outside of?
Well it's really both and. Well, and first of all, the best thing sort of like your average parishioner, whether you're a catechist or not, can do is to go to whoever runs your parish catechetical program and kind of work through them
mm-hmm.
To see about setting up some kind of talk or workshop or what have you. And by the way, I'm not the only one doing these. You know, we have a couple or three folks, and mm-hmm. we've kind of put a little crew together depending on the topic and so forth. So yeah, of course, yeah, within the Archdiocese is one thing. I'm more than happy to go outside the Archdiocese. You know, that changes the dynamic a little bit. But I do quite a bit of that actually, especially in that sweet spot of like within a 4-hour drive. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy to hop in the car and visit another diocese, like the Diocese of Lafayette, mm-hmm. for example, you know. but again, that's always with the permission of the pastor and the, you know, I always work with the local leaders to make sure, you know, they're okay with having this crazy, crazy Polish guy from Indianapolis come to their place, you know?
So two things before we close.
Sure.
What's the biggest challenge, do you think, facing catechists today? And I want to know how this work has impacted your faith.
Yeah, super quick. A lot of catechists struggle to find time to work on their own formation. You know, we're all so busy, right? And so I think a lot of catechists feel the pressure of time, and that's, you know, that's a leadership challenge for parish catechetical leaders and pastors, you know. And then you know, I would just say in my own work, like I see God at work all the time in the lives of individuals, in these events that we do, and really I'm a pretty thankful guy anyway, mm-hmm. but I feel like my gratitude level, I'm just so thankful all the time, you know, for the good that I see the Holy Spirit doing in people. And, you know, I'm not Pollyannish. I'm also aware of the challenges and so forth that you know, we face this side of heaven. But yeah, definitely my faith is, you know, my well is filled up by the work that I do. Maybe that's why I've done it for so long, and I still love it. It's a blessing for me.
And I'm guessing, do you get similar feedback from the catechists that you work with and interact with in terms of the impact that the ministry that they're doing at the parish level, how that's impacting them?
Yeah, in fact, it's interesting. In the Archdiocesan newspaper recently, and again, depending on when people are accessing this content, every year the Criterion does a supplement, mm-hmm. An evangelization and catechesis supplement. So one of our great writers, John Shaughnessy, mm-hmm. at the Criterion, He gave folks an opportunity to sort of send in some of their own stories of how their life has been blessed as a catechist. So that content's available online, and it's very clear that when you're involved with teaching the faith, it enhances your own faith as well.
If I can find that, I will put that link with the podcast so you can get both those. Our guest today has been Ken Ogorek. He is the Director of Catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Thanks so much for being our guest today. God bless you. We'll be praying for you.
Me too.
Maybe we'll see you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.